Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Welcome back to another episode of Early to Rise Radio with Craig Valentine, your host. And listen, we are going to continue talking about how your business can survive and thrive in the coronavirus crisis and what will turn into a recession in the future. Listen, I am very serious and acutely pessimistic, but long-term optimistic about this. And so I brought on my friend Rob Hanley. Rob Hanley has been interviewed on the show before. He's done the coronavirus briefing that we had, and he's going to give you some more optimism. He's also going to set us straight on the reality of the situation. He is coming in from somewhere in Portugal where he's holed himself up. He's quite an interesting person, and he's going to help you, okay? So let's jump into the show right now. All right, I'm calling this one a couple of short-term pessimists, long-term optimists. An Australian and a Canadian walk into a bar, start with a strong coffee, move to tequila, and discuss how to survive the corona crisis. Rob, is that a okay wrap-up of what this is going to be?
I think that was a wonderful wrap-up of what this is going to be, complete with the right drinks that you should pull yourself right now.
There you go. So everyone listening, this is Rob Hanley, my friend, a business consultant, Rain Man, the numbers man, the person I send many businesses who are both successful and who are struggling, who are strapped for cash, who need to find more profits in their business, I send them to Rob. So Rob, what else would you like to say about yourself before we dive into actual tactical advice that every business can use right now to survive and thrive?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the most important thing is most people who look at these shows that we do will try and find out a little bit about me. And the reality is there's not much, because for years I worked behind the scenes. I've handled P&Ls and balance sheets and statements of cash flows from companies everywhere from Okinawa to Ohio. I've worked in everything from supplements to screen printing and software. I have seen it if you've experienced it. And if you think you're going to experience, I've probably dealt with it. And that's given me a pretty unique perspective as we've led up to where we are now, to be able to contact my clients more than a month in advance and say, this is coming, prepare yourself. And I think if you pay attention to today's episode, you're going to walk away with that same sense of, here's how I adapt right now, here's what I have to do in the future so that I don't die.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get to the business side of things, you know, speaking of don't die, let's talk about the health, the what you are doing, what you have done. I mean, you have done what, you know, it's kind of extreme. It's not super extreme. It's not like you have a bunker, but you have sequestered yourself in a very beautiful place, actually.
Yeah. So I looked at what was happening. A good friend of ours, Matt Smith, and I sat down and spoke about this, and he challenged me on a few things, and I realized that his perspective of everything that could come was going to be quite nasty. So I made a plan for myself that based on certain scenarios, what I would do. And I tracked the number of cases every day in Portugal and decided that when it hit 100, I would go up to a small spot, sequestered away, as you said, in a place where it's low population density, it's relaxing, there's surf, there's beautiful vegetation around, near a hospital if I need it, and near highways. And I've got, you know, plenty of food. I can stay as long as I need to. And it was the case that I kind of hoped that I'd never have to do it. But if it happened, I was going to be prepared. I wasn't going to be the person stuck in a line hoping to get something at a grocery store, which is what I know people back in Lisbon are struggling with right now.
Yeah. So, you know, all that is a little too late for a lot of people listening, but yeah. For those people that are in those stuck situations, you know, one of my team members, Ksenia, who you know very well, said, you know, at the very least, try Russian grocery stores, Indian grocery stores, Asian grocery stores. I mean, instead of going to your regular supermarket, do you have anything like that?
Yeah, so this is a game of supply and demand, and it's a Keynesian beauty contest. You have to figure out where everyone else is going and then go somewhere else, because the supply will be higher relative to demand. Near us, we found a very small butcher, which we're using because no one's really here. Everyone else is going to the big supermarket stores and struggling to get meat. This guy's got shelves packed full of it. and everyone's overlooking him because in a crisis, everyone thinks, where's the most food? I'll go to the supermarket. Go to your local stores. Go to your local, as you said, Russian store, Indian store, Asian store, whatever it is, the immigrant store. Go to the small independent butcher that has one guy working behind the counter for the past 50 years because these guys are prepared and they're not going to be as affected by a run on the market.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, it's very analogous to some of the business stuff we're going to talk about. Finally, last thing, we haven't talked about this yet, is how did you convince your parents to take this seriously? What are they doing and how are they staying safe back in Australia?
Yeah, sure. So I'm lucky in that my parents both have a good background relevant to the scenario. So I didn't have to convince them too hard. But basically what I did was I led by example more than anything else. Here's what I'm doing. Please do the same. Here's why I'm doing it. Please do the same. And there is obviously a point where there's two parts. There's one, everyone has a different tolerance to these conversations, and it's important to do your best to be respectful of that. And also, everyone else has a different level of willingness to get involved. So with my family, I kind of nudged them along and said, please, go do these things. And here's why. And I sent them the evidence and I sent them the emotional reasoning. But I also had to accept that I can't make their decisions for them. It's a choice. And I was very lucky that my parents listened to me. And I mean, they were doing a great job as it was without me. I can't take full credit, but it was really important to provide a solid case and then to lead by example. That's what I believe.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And I think that everybody needs to become the great leader that they have always wanted to be. As Matt, our friend, my business partner, said, everybody always says they want to make an impact. Well, now is the, this is our, like what I call, it's our World War II scenario. Hopefully it doesn't become World War III, but it's our World War II scenario. And we watch these movies about Schindler's List and all this stuff. And we think, oh, that's such a great story. What a great person. Well, this is our time to do the best we can. So I want to now flip it over to the business side of things, the leadership side of things, how we need to act, communicate, and think as business owners, people who are, not going down without a fight, and give you the floor to give a little bit of general information. And then some of the things that I want to cover with you are the questions that everybody should be asking their team. And then the four things that every business should be doing right now, which you covered a little bit in some of your training, and we can go deep on that. And then I want to talk a little bit about how restaurants, gyms, retail shops might be able to save themselves, because those are the most at risk. And then any opportunities that you would see for people to pivot quickly, or people that just are thinking of starting a business in this time, what they can do and where the greatest opportunities are. Because like me, you consult with a lot of industries, and I see some people tripling their sales, and I see some people, shutting their gyms. I've shut gyms, so I might lose those gyms. And I want to hear your take on all of that. Okay. So let's have you have some comments for us right now.
Yeah, sure. So let's just start off on the situation report, getting clear on what's happening. And it's two parts. The first thing you want to be clear on is what's happening right now, and then looking into the future. Because the reason that so many people got caught by the bang, and what I mean by that is it's a term from the Marines where you have a timeline from left to right and bang is in the center. Left of bang is proactive response and right of bang is being reactive. The people who got caught in bang weren't looking to the future, and they weren't seeing the trends that were growing, and they weren't listening to opposing opinions. So the first thing you need to get clear on is, like, how did we get here? And then what's going to happen next as a result? If those forces continue, what's likely to happen? So one of the things I recommend for anyone who's in North America listening to this is look to Italy. The government response in Italy was not a fast one. And they've done the right things, but they did it too late. And they're appealing with other governments to do the same things but faster. If you look at the way that America is responding, you have to be prepared that you might experience the same thing. If you can look into the future, if you can look towards bang, figure out what might happen, you're going to be well prepared. You're going to be prudent. So that's the first thing, getting clarity on where you are, how you got here, and what might come next so that you can prepare and be prudent. You're looking for the trends. The other part of that then is communicating that. So one of the conversations I've had, and I've truly been glued to my phone for about 8 to 12 hours every single day the last week. One of the things I tell everyone I speak to is you must communicate clearly to people what's happening, what you believe will happen, and what you think everyone should do about it and how to do it. Everyone should be very clearly informed about the scenario we're currently facing and what to do about it. That means if you've got bankers that you're accountable to, contact them now. Contact them before it's too late. Build a relationship, build the warmth, take care of them and tell them what you're doing. Because, yeah, hey, you know, I've seen some risks coming down the pipeline. Here's how I'm going to address them. Same with any of your customers. Ask yourself, hey, how might my customers be affected? What can I do to help them? Because you have no business without your customers. And the same thing for your employees. What are they going to be worried about? How can I clearly communicate to them what we're going to do, how we're going to take care of them, and what we might have to do in the future, what I might need from them so I can take care of them? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing, I don't know who recommended this. It might have been you. It might have been somebody outside of our conversation, but they said, move to a daily email to your team. And I just started that this morning and it's been well received because first of all, we have people whose family is still traveling and all that sort of stuff. And it just fosters the community, part of the team. And then, you know, another thing that came up with one of my clients is, you know, he is actually a payment processor provider in California. All restaurants are now closed in California. And he has staff whose job was only to deal with those restaurants, and now they're not getting any calls from those restaurants. And he's like, do I lay them off or what do I do? And I gave him some advice. I said, hey, listen, you know, if you can afford it and you can keep them on for another week or two to build systems and processes so that when things do return to the new normal, and I know I'm looking forward to your predictions about what the new normal will be later on, when it does return to the new normal and people start to go out to eat again in California, whatever month that may be, they're going to need to, you know, if they're better prepared to deal with a lot of questions, you know, and you prepared now, you're going to be a little bit further ahead. So yeah. What are you telling people to do in that type of situation?
Yeah. So, okay. If you're carrying a staff load, you have to understand that your staff just aren't the hours that they work or, you know, this week's project that they're trying to deliver on. It's that they have a strong organizational knowledge and a customer-based knowledge, as well as a tool set or a skill set knowledge. So these are some really great raw assets that you are now able to, in, for example, your client's case, they have maximum capacity. You have this asset with maximum capacity and this daily email or the GSNR, which you and I both run with our people, these are the way to refocus those assets, to redirect them, because there is an opportunity here. But if you can provide calm in the chaos for people and help them see where they can be applying themselves, you have the opportunity to find new streams of revenue. So I had a call today with someone who, he came to me through the Adapt or Die briefing. And when he and I were speaking, he was telling me about how he is aware that certain markets are going to go down and certain markets are going to go up.
Really, what industry is he in?
Marketing, actually. He's in marketing. He owns a couple of physical locations as well for a different business, but we were speaking about the marketing side. And I was saying to him, look, you know, you have to understand it, that when things go up, things go down. And overall, net, things are going to go down, but some things will, relative to the mean, go up. Yeah. So what are those industries going to be? How do you help them? And it's about understanding that he has this same thing. He has this asset, this skill set, these tools, these hours. Where can he deploy them to provide solutions? Real value. I think that's got to be hammered home here is, we've just come off a, 12-year bull market at the time of this recording, longer. Everyone has been getting to this point where anyone could basically sell anything because it was all about self-actualization. But it means that with this sudden drop, those problems no longer exist. Self-actualization is gone. People are just worried about how they're going to survive now. So you can solve these real tangible problems that people are facing, whether it's food or money, or business, or their family, or their mortgage, or their house, they need people to solve it, people like you. Because if you're listening to this, like this recording, you obviously have the brains to invest in yourself and your education, and you're willing to help people. So look at the new problems that are emerging and how you can deploy your existing assets and resources and skills to solve those and really make a difference to people.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see how when somebody's in a marketplace with specific skills, they a lot of us, because you know you can't see the forest because of the tree in front of you, you don't see the obvious natural shift. And that's where a guy like you comes in. That's where a person like me comes in. I had a client who just joined our coaching program this week, and we're busier than ever for many, many reasons. He buys Facebook ads and does social media marketing for a med spa, and he's worried. I'm like, well, you just take your shovel and your pickaxe and all the tools that you have on this driveway or this mountain, and you just move to another mountain where there's, you know, rivers of gold. And and he didn't see that, but it's pretty obvious in hindsight and for everybody listening that you have those skills and tools that you can make that pivot.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying there is really echoes something I heard from Charlie Hone recently, who was Tim Ferriss's director of Other, which is you can't read the label from inside the jar. And that's exactly what that guy just went through. He couldn't read the label because he was inside the jar. The skills that people have here, it's worth working with people who provide outside eyes. It's like, it's why you and I work together, why I get your help, because you provide outside eyes. And it's a side note, like, today at the moment, I can't help but think back to a conversation we had a few years back on a really difficult turnaround. And you're like, dude, it's dead. Like, cool, you've done all you can. It's kind of capped. And you've got all the market forces, well, not the market forces, sorry, it was financial forces against us. Even though we tripled revenue and we'd grown it, just let it die. And I was so committed at that time to proving I could do it. But then you just say, yeah, man, like, it's a dog. You've done a good job with it. Let it go. You don't have to take it to the next 200X. And I walked away and saved myself probably 15 years of aging off my life because I had somebody who could read the label from outside the jar.
Yeah, and I think it goes to also people starting new businesses, which would be a good topic to kind of shift into right now. What are the opportunities of someone starting from scratch? And so a lot of people come to me with skills, even if they're, you know, kind of basic compared to the person we just talked about. And they have some idea of how to do business, but they've simply chosen the wrong business market. You know, they just simply have a bad business idea. And it doesn't matter how good you get at copywriting or sales or marketing, you can't make a bad business idea work. So let's talk about good business ideas in this day and age for people looking for a second income, starting from scratch, or having to shut down and restart.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to start with a bit of an abstract metaphor, which I've beaten into you, but I think is useful for listeners. And then we'll get really down to, you know, boots on ground. The thing you've got to understand about business, right, is it's often talked about, we built this thing as though there was a vacuum and I put a thing inside it and boom, I'm successful, or boom, I failed. But actually, it was funnily enough, Matt Smith, who said this to me years ago, was market forces are more important than anything else. And I'd agree with him. It's your category is your number one indicator of economic success. What you build is invariably more important than how you build it or that you built it. It's just where you were. So you want to imagine yourself being lifted by a wave, that you just position yourself so that the wave naturally pushes you along, because that's what you're really hunting for. So with that mental model in mind, perfect for anyone who's a surfer or wannabe surfer like me, not so great for people who have never gotten in the water, but the idea sticks. Ask yourself, where is demand surging? So I was speaking to a fairly famous media buyer, and I'm going to leave a name out of it for now. But she gave me some really interesting insights about what was happening in the media buying market right now. Inventory is getting cheaper. Some categories are just falling through the floor, but others are growing.
What are falling through the floor?
Things that people don't really care about right now, to be honest.
And can't use, like restaurants, probably gyms.
It doesn't matter how incredible your marketing is. If you're in Italy right now, you don't care about eating out at a restaurant. It doesn't matter. Forget about it. You can have the best ad in the world. You could have paid Gary Bensiavenga to write it. It doesn't matter. It's not going to go anywhere. So it's really about looking at what do people need right now. So people who are in quarantine are moving towards home workouts and fitness and health. They are moving towards boredom busters, games, things that they can do to pass the time. Netflix will probably see a surge right now. Maybe. Maybe it won't, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a surge. But Universal Pictures has seen this trend, and I don't know if you saw it, but they're releasing their entire summer movie catalog online through portals like Comcast because people won't be able to go to the cinema. Like that is a move to a new trend. Bye-bye cinema, hello home delivery. So if you're looking at this, what kind of stuff do people need right now? People are concerned about food. People are concerned about health. People are concerned about mental health. So physical health and mental health, they're concerned about boredom. They're concerned about, will my business survive? And then you have to look at the constraints within that. So depending on the region you're in, a plumber might be a good person to help with their marketing. If you're in Italy, horrible person to help. Their business, the forces are against them. They're just facing strong headwinds. There's no tide or wave lifting them. Whereas if you're in Australia, I know a plumber in Australia who is going to do very well because he's being prudent and proactive with his wife. I've known them for a long time, so I've had a lot of insight into their business. But what they've been doing is they're saying, listen, quarantine might happen. Let us help you in advance. And they've put together this great mailing campaign, and I want to be respectful that they shared with me what they've put together and not reveal it all here. So they have the opportunity to take advantage of this competitive edge. But they're thinking, what problems are people going to face? How can I help them now? What are the risks? So you can sit down and ask people in your local area, your friends, your family, your community, what are you scared about? What are you worried about? Because for the first time ever, they're not going to give you real vague, oh, you know, like, I'm worried about how I look in the social community. They're going to say, I'm really terrified that I'm going to be stuck at home for 12 weeks with my kids, and I'm not going to have enough food, and they're going to drive me mental, and my relationship will fall apart. I mean, the mental health one, I've beaten home a lot. You know, I have a great therapist who I recommend all the time, a guy called Niels Barons from Barons Psychology. And we're doing a briefing on Friday for everyone for free about mental health, because if you get quarantined, there are certain things that will drive you batty. That's a real problem we're all going to face. And maybe that problem's not a big deal 3 months ago, but 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, it's a huge issue. So really asking, again, to summarize, what problems are people tangibly experiencing right now? Let go of all your preconceived notions. What do they need? What do they fear? Because we are in a space of fear right now.
Yeah. And, you know, let's talk about gym owners right now. It's really, really great that they can do some online stuff right now. But, I fully expect my three gyms to close down. They're actually closed down now, but to actually go bankrupt. Because, listen, it's all fine and dandy. People are optimistic and positive now, where, you know, here in North America, it's, you know, they can still go outside and they can still do stuff. But when, you know, if you give 2 weeks, heck, even 5 days where you're not allowed to go outside because the police are outside, you have three kids, you have a laid off husband or spouse, nobody's paying for online gym membership. That's the first thing to go. And so I'm optimistic that it'll be okay for 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. But, you know, how else are retail stores, gym owners, restaurants, what can we do to, you know, we can't go back in time and save more cash. And we can only do the best we can right now. So what can we do to get through? And then if we're still open in a few months, what can we do to make the most of it?
All right. So I think there's two things we're talking about right now, which is, what do we do in this very moment? Like, if you're listening to this call with a pen and a paper in front of you, what should you be doing? I'm a big believer in, what can you do right now to set yourself up for the next 3 months? So how do you put money in your bank account so that if the music stops, you don't lose a chair, right? You're not the one without a chair. So that means any aged receivables you've got, go get them. Go provide financing options to people who owe you money as well. So things like Brex card and plastic, go tell people, hey, if you're feeling a little strapped right now, here's a credit card option, man. Like, you know, it's 0%, 60 days. Go get that, pay my bills, no dramas. Get the cash in your bank account. Do not be left holding the bag. Second of all, with that cash that you have, do not be a dragon and sit on it. Right? There are opportunities that are coming. You want to invest. You want to invest in the things that help you speed through this process. So if you rip a bunch of cash from the future into today, under the belief, like me, that things aren't going to get better before they get worse, use that cash to give yourself an advantage to well position yourself. Because like I mentioned earlier, supply and demand, it's a game of supply and demand. If you have cash, you can negotiate. If you don't have cash, you can be negotiated against. So that's really critical. Stack cash.
So what are some of those practical examples? Because even I'm not fully getting that one.
Sure. Okay. So media buying is
a great one. I'm a genius. So if I
you're a genius with a capital J. See,
yeah. Capital J.
So a great example of this is media buying. The cost of media has been going down according to all the media buyers I've been speaking to. Like, we're talking, everyone's been complaining how high CPMs have been. All of a sudden, the cost of ads is going through the floor because bigger brands are pulling out. This is fantastic news. Go collect your cash and then go expand your volume. That's an awesome opportunity. It's provided, obviously, you're solving problems. If you're in a business that's realistically not going to be around in 3 months from now, you've got to ask yourself, what's better, the price of wool or the price of mutton? I.e., should you try and keep producing or should you be selling your assets? Because you have to make that decision. Now, if you are a low-cost business like I am, I have a very lean business, which means it's very easy for me to weather the downturn and selling my assets, doesn't make sense. But if you're a bigger business, ask yourself, is it worth me liquidating my assets right now? can I do something, for example, and we were talking about this with a client recently, doing a lease back. So they have equipment that's, you know, worth a substantial five-figure amount per piece. And we've been discussing going and finding people who rent those out. And they're saying, hey, I will sell you this for a flat piece of cash and then pay you a lease for the period to pay it back. Because at the moment, that gives them the opportunity to produce, it lifts their cash buffer, and it gives them the opportunity to add to it while mitigating their risk. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that there's also a real hard question that people have to think, do I cut everything now or do I make the decision that, all right, I'm not going to last the 3 months or whatever it is. And so I should just assume full bankruptcy and liquidate now instead of bleeding? Or do I try and minimize the bleeding and hope that I still have a pint of blood in me left at the end of the day? How does one make that decision?
Yeah, so we use a tool called a 13-week cash flow model. The 13-week cash flow model is very simple. It is you get a spreadsheet, and you can find templates around, or maybe we can probably put one together for you, where you put in the cash that you're going to receive in all the different areas and the cash that you're going to spend in all the different areas. So for example, projected sales, subscriptions, the revenue sources, and then the outgoings, which are utilities, rent, vehicle, whatever, COGS, okay? You break that down and then you look to the next 13 weeks. What does that look like? Now, this is one of the key tools that you can use to assess where you will be on 12 weeks based on a few key assumptions. So once you've done the first one, you want to do a second one with some different assumptions. So what if sales drop twice as fast? Or what if your expenses, you remove half of them? Or what if you do like I was talking about before, the sale of equipment and doing a lease back? And you will need to sit there and research, but you want to get an idea of where is your cash position likely to be in 3 months from now. Now, the other thing is, once you have that full perspective, you need to look at that and say, is this the best future that I could hope for? Is this the best future I could hope for? Should I be changing my business model? Like we were talking before about the guy who runs ads for the med spa. Man, when quarantine and constraints kick in, they can't touch people. That business is dead, temporarily at least. And that's a very brutal thing to hear, but med spas are in a tough spot right now. But if those people take their same skills, how can they apply them elsewhere to generate new revenue? That makes sense? By creating that 13-week cash flow model, you can look specifically into the future and say, what will my net cash position be if A, B, and C happen? And is that the best outcome for me? What if I shifted my assets to a new direction? Where can I add more value to improve that cash position? And then you just got to look at the numbers and say, well, here's my pre-made decision. If A, B, and C happen, or X, Y, and Z happen, I'll sell. I'll liquidate because I need to be holding cash. And then I will shift into something that is a lower operating expense base where I can still add value. That might have been a really cold message for a lot of people to hear, but I just want to really flash back to everyone that things are going to happen, right? And the best place you can be in is to have thought things through and made a series of pre-made decisions, which is, you know, they talked about that Atlas meeting. It's what will you do in what scenario? And maybe those scenarios come to pass. Maybe the economy turns around in 2 weeks and everything you and I are talking about right now doesn't matter anymore. Or if you're like me, the worst case does come, I believe it will, but you've planned for it and you've thought about it and you don't have the emotional hangover that slows you down. And I want to give one example of this is I was communicating with a friend over in North America and the actual United States. And I was saying to him, cool, you know, what's your plan? And he said, oh, you know, I'm going to get out. I was like, cool. If you're going to leave, do it soon. And be aware that you can't bring everyone with you. Otherwise, you might miss your window of opportunity. No, it's cool. I got this. And I got a voice message from him when he was, I don't know, 70% of the way to the Canadian border and Canada had shut its borders. He said, dude, I waited too long. I tried to convince people. I didn't act fast enough. I didn't plan for this. Now I have to go back and hole up somewhere else. There are very real consequences to not looking to the future and not making plans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for that, Rob. So, you know, speaking of planning, you went through this little four-step exercise in your special training that I'd like to go over again, which is, you know, planning for the next 90 days with company goals and that sort of stuff. So walk us through those four steps, because I've kind of tried to describe them to people, but I think I butchered it a little bit. So let's give you the floor there to take us through it.
Sure. So what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to pull open the original document from the Adapt or Die briefing. And if anyone's listening to this and wants to get a copy of the full briefing, it's free. People originally paid $200 for it, but thanks to Craig's encouragement, it's now free for everyone. You can get it at adaptordiebriefing.com. The discount's already been applied. So with that in mind, let me give you the bullets of the four steps that you need to take. The first thing you want to do is you want to gather internal data, right? And this is sort of like opening your toolkit and seeing what you have in the toolkit, what you have in the toolbox. And this means understanding what your execution infrastructure is. So for most people who own a business, this means starting with what information do you have? What organizational knowledge do you have? And asking yourself asking your employees, I should say, what are the three most important things that we should be doing going forward? And what are the top five things we should change? What do you most hope I do, and what are you scared of what I might do? What are you most concerned about? Do you have any specific advice for me? What do you expect from me as management? And inversely, what should I expect from you? You're asking yourself, what would get you fired in this time? What would actually make you lose your role in a recession? And what are the top things you think that you could do that would guarantee that I could keep you on or give you a promotion or a raise through all this? You're really tapping into the individuals on the front line, their knowledge. And I cannot stress to you how important this is. John Robb, a researcher and author, has written, as have many other business experts, but John is uniquely positioned because of his career. He's talked about frontline experts. If you have people who are on the front lines and can give you insights, go get those insights. So that's the first piece of internal data. The next thing is you want to start breaking it down. And be honest with yourself about this. Where are you really strong? Where you are uncommonly good as an organization or an individual? What are your skills? What are your resources? What knowledge do you have that others don't? And what processes do you have that you're better at or faster at or just generally have that others don't? And then do the same thing on your weaknesses. Where are you just purely unskilled? Like, listen, man, I'm non-executive. I've discovered this about myself. I've sat in executive roles. But I'm not an executive who's going to build one company for 10 years. I am, by and large, the kind of guy who comes in and does turnarounds and fixing and consulting. That's where my skills are. So I can't put down in my skills that I'm strong as an executive. I'm weak there. My resources, you know, that's another thing. Where am I weak in my resources? Is it that, you know, I don't have a team behind me when I'm doing consulting to businesses? Is it that there's only one of me? What are my knowledge weaknesses? What can't I touch? So I was talking with an entrepreneur this morning who has unbelievable global supply chain knowledge, far surpasses mine. He's a resource for me as a strength, but as a knowledge, it's a weakness of mine. I can't consult directly on supply chain, only from a 30,000 foot view. And then finally, in terms of process, you know, what weaknesses do I have in my processes? Because I'm quite a lean business, I don't need to have that many. So I'm actually pretty decent there. So that's the first part. Does it all make sense? Gathering internal data?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Excellent. Fantastic. So if you think about gathering internal data, it really is, it's almost another metaphor for it, is you take the puzzle box and you pour it on the ground. Fantastic. You see the pieces in front of you. The next step.
That's like my brain dump,
it's like your brain dump. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just want to see what's in front of you. And this is really important because a lot of people want to go out and create these fantastical strategies. And I'm going to do this thing. And it's sort of like that Tony Robbins rah-rah. I'll just go get everything I need. Someone else has it. Yeah, cool. But there's a lot of assumptions in that path. Let's start with what you have right now. And you might find as we go through this process that you have some holes you need to fill. That's cool. You can go get those resources. But don't start with a fantastical dream right now. Start with cold, hard reality. Okay? So that's, there you go. Brain dump, toolbox, puzzle box, whatever you want to call it. Let's move on to the external data. So the first thing is, what opportunities do exist and will exist in the near future? So the things that I encourage people to consider are what's happening with overall demand, competitor activity, market saturation, government policies, economic conditions, social and cultural developments, and technological developments. Excuse me. So what I'll give you is an example of some of these things. So opportunities for overall demand. If we use our med spa guy. So the opportunity for overall demand is not going to be in the med spa space. There will be an increase in demand in digital consumption. That's an opportunity of overall demand. In terms of competitor activity, he's probably about to see a bunch of small media buyers who started like a social media marketing agency. they're going to go out of business, but they're going to have tools and clients and things that he may be able to tap into. Market saturation. In terms of digital consumption, there probably will reach a point of market saturation, which means that there's an opportunity to develop better offerings. Government policies. If a quarantine goes into effect, what does that do to your ability to sell? Something that's interesting that came out yesterday evening or this morning is Amazon has changed what they're shipping. Did you hear about this?
No.
No. Okay. So
I did hear they were hiring 100,000 people.
No, they're hiring 100,000 people, but there are a lot of people right now in FBA that are absolutely pained because they cannot ship stock anymore. People built their businesses on Amazon. Well, because Amazon has basically come out, and I got this from our friend Nick Ginsburg. He sent me this link to this email, this article. And in it, here's exactly what is said. And it's just loading now. Is that Amazon has announced that it is, it's doing a temporary pause to third-party sellers and to retail vendors due to a customer demand for household staples and medical supplies. So that means that Amazon will no longer accept inbound shipments to its fulfillment centers for products other than those high-demand goods, right? Mm-hmm. That means that if you have a business that's not selling high-demand goods and it's FBA, that's a business policy that's just suddenly cut you off at the legs and you need to go find a 3PL or a warehouse alternative.
Yeah,
that's a really big deal.
Yeah, that's essentially like having your YouTube account banned, your Instagram account.
Yeah, absolutely. Taken away. Absolutely.
And so one of my that off somebody else's platform.
Exactly. It's, you know, James Shramko's idea of own the race course, which I love. Like, own the race course, man. So I have a client who is absolute machine on Amazon, but he has also gotten into the warehousing space. So for him, this policy change is actually a big opportunity because he can support these people whose businesses have essentially been cut off at the knees, mm-hmm. right? He's helping them. Economic conditions. So what we're probably going to see, there was a great piece by Dalio that went out yesterday on economic conditions. We are going to see changes in credit structure. We're going to see changes in debt structure. We're going to see a bunch of defaults. We're going to see a bunch of people who can't afford to keep their businesses running because they're working capital demands. So what are the opportunities that exist there? Social and cultural developments. Now, this is a real one. Is last week I was speaking with a futurist who actually set up Trend Hunting Labs in Africa, a German woman, very smart. And she was saying that there's likely to be an increase in xenophobia in the next few months because people will have this sort of delayed reaction towards, oh, the disease came from Wuhan. And, you know, that means all people who don't look like me are bad. Now, there's an opportunity to help those people, to help shape the narrative there, because realistically, it's not like everyone in one area of the world got together and said, hey, let's go ruin the world. This is just an unfortunate accident in a lot of ways. It wasn't contained well. People are slow to respond, but this will have really meaningful social and cultural developments. But other social cultural developments that exist are going to be people are staying home. People don't want to go out. So people are going to want things that will entertain them at home. And then finally, technological developments. So I'm in touch with former Israeli intelligence and for lecturers at universities in Australia. Those are two different groups of people. And both of those groups of people are telling me about the technological adaptations that are occurring that they're seeing in their industries as well as across the board. So people are starting to embrace things like virtual work, remote work. I mean, you and I have both seen this. Stay the fuck home club? Stay home, sorry. Stay home club and then there's staythefuckhome.com.
Yeah, and that website, which is not a joke website, is a real website with really good information on it. So it's worth checking out.
And so it's worth understanding that these constraints create opportunity. And then you're going to ask yourself the same questions as threats. So what are the threats to overall demand? So going back to our med spa guy, it's going to fall off for med spas. Competitor activity. Well, they might try and poach the last few clients. Market saturation. I don't think that's an issue for him. Governmental policies. Well, if you can't touch people, there goes his business. Economic conditions, already discussed. Social cultural developments. Maybe it's going to become like a black market, facials and stuff like that. And technological developments. Not so much applicable to him, but it is to others. So asking yourself these questions is what are the threats that do exist right now and will exist into the next 12 weeks, next 24 weeks, next year, 3 years, allows you to get left of bang, right? It's that real idea we're talking about is get left of bang, find a better trend to surf, and then benefit from that. So that is the external side of data. Any questions on that, CV?
No, which actually leads us perfect into the you know, explaining the top company goals and how you measure that and the strategies and the tactics exercise that you taught us as well. If you can take us that to help us finish off, it'd be a great way to, you know, give a little optimism to people about what they can be doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. So once you've taken all that data and you've reflected on basically the state of things, the situation report now and into the future, it's time to simplify it. Because the reality is that you need to be the calm in the chaos for everyone you interact with. So what you want to first do is identify your one general goal for the next 90 days. And what I'll do is I'll give you a comparison, by the way, alongside this, so you can see how this applies. So if you run a business that can be run virtually, for example, you are a personal trainer, or you are a therapist, or a yoga studio, or a meditation coach, the one general goal for the next 90 days might be stack cash. That's it. I just want to stack cash. And then we say, okay, well, what are the 3 to 5 specific numbers that you can use to confirm you've reached this goal? What are your objectives? You might say, well, you know, I want to put $100,000 in the bank or $10,000 in the bank. Either is fine. What's the specific number? And then what does that equate to in customers? I want to build a mailing list of 5,000 people over the next 90 days and have 500 customers. So just 3 to 5 specific numbers that you have, because you're a very smart person, you've answered all those questions, distill the reality of the situation into a belief and a vision for the future. And these 3 to 5 numbers will help you achieve that goal based on those conditions. Then you ask yourself, what strategy will I generally need to follow to achieve these objectives? The answer to that is a broad answer, right? I don't need to get specific here. So in the case of an online yoga studio, you might say, well, I'm going to partner with Instagram accounts and give away free branded, free branded information for them, or co-branded information. Or if you're actually a physical business like a gym, maybe you've decided that you want to stack cash and you want to give people a 90-day plan. So you're going to sell a 90-day plan to them right now that needs no home, that needs no workout equipment, so they can do it at home. So I'm going to change the way that I deliver my value. Maybe that's your strategy. Finally, you ask yourself, what are the specific actions that you must take to execute on this strategy so you can achieve your objectives and fulfill your goal? That's really important to understand that if we execute on our tactics, we fulfill our strategy, which naturally we should achieve our objectives, which means that we've been successful at hitting our goal. Does that make sense? Like, you know, broad, specific, and then work backwards, right? So what you're asking yourself are, what are the specific actions you must take to execute on this strategy so you can achieve your objectives and fulfill your goal? Now, I just want to quickly highlight that when you take all 4 of these pieces together, you might walk away with something that just seems a little too obvious and simple. Like, it just seems like, oh, I thought the strategy was meant to be like this 500-page document that was really heavy and had all diagrams and maps and all this stuff. No. What you are seeking right now is a very clear, it should be able to fit on one page with handwriting and not trying to squish your handwriting in. You know, that old story where you had that page full of goals and it was like you had 100 things on it, Craig, and it ended up, how many of those did you get done? I think Mark Ford asked you that. And then you just
Mark Ford showed me that you only need 4, but I have, you know, like 22 or more on one page, and it would frustrate me every year. So it really was coming down to simplifying and narrowing it. And I think having a very clear vision then allowed me to achieve everything.
Yeah, and that's it, right? It's like, you don't want to overwhelm yourself right now. If you've done the work, if you've done the research, and I ask you to trust me on this, if you've done the research and asked those questions that Craig and I just went through, and you come up with a very simple answer, you've done the right thing, right? You've done the best you can with the resources you've got, but it means you've informed yourself first. And while I work through a more in-depth version of this with my private clients, you've done pretty well off a free exercise on a podcast with 2 guys who know what they're talking about. If you have a simple answer, it means you've thought it through and come up with an elegant solution. You're not trying to do everything. You're not chasing shiny objects. You're just doing the basics that work. So you go through, you do your broad goal, your specific objectives, your broad strategy, specific tactics, and then it's time to communicate your distilled idea, your simplified idea to your company. And that means that every member of your company, whether you're a one-man band or a 10,000-person organization, they must know what your answers to the questions are. They must know how and when you will be checking progress and adapting to results. So the example you brought up earlier, CB, of the daily email, tell them every day we're going to track this, this, and this, and I'm going to email you about it. Perfect. And then finally, every member of your company must know what is expected of them. The worst thing that can happen right now is that your employees become disengaged. You do not want that. You want to be connecting with your employees, understanding what's happening with them, and communicating to them very, very clearly what is expected of them and what is not expected of them. And it, you have to do the second part as well, because there are things that your employees were doing 4 weeks ago that right now completely irrelevant. Don't need to do, total waste of time. Let's focus on something more productive. And that is how we start this process of adapting. So that's it. Those are the four steps.
Absolutely love it, my man. Absolutely love it. Listen, Rob, we covered a lot. You know, we've done the briefing. Yep. We've done this. We don't have time to do anything else right now, but we can certainly check back, because you seem to be in a good position and I can ask you a whole lot more questions. But what else do you want to finish off and say at this time? What are the words that you can give to people so that they can go forth and survive and perhaps even thrive in this time?
Yeah. Look, things are hard right now and they probably will be harder, but the night is darkest before the dawn. I have worked on so many turnarounds and I have seen so many things where things have just seemed hopeless. But at the end, you have to understand that if it goes down, it can go up. And that means that things will get better. What you want to do right now is take the time to stop and pause and reflect. You know, don't just do something. Sit there and ask yourself, how can I best position myself now and into the next 3, 6, 9, 12, 18 months so that at the end of this, I'm in a perfect position to help others as well. If I leave you with that, I think that that will give you a very good idea about what's to come and how to best navigate those times of uncertainty. And if you want to go more in depth, go to adaptordiebriefing.com and see the material that Craig and I are referencing right now, and take the time to educate yourself and learn about this in depth. It's completely free. The discounts applied. It's all yours.
How long do you expect to be where you are?
I am watching what happens. So I've planned to be here for a minimum of a month, but I'm prepared to stay up here as long as the surf is good and the conditions require me to be up here, Craig.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Mr. Rob Hamley. And if somebody really wants to connect with you and work with you to get them through this, what would you say?
Yeah. Please send me an email. It's rob@robhanly.com. So that's rob@robhanley.com. I do not have an E in my last name. Go to rob@robhanley.com and yeah, send me an email there. And I'll do everything I can to tell you if I can help you. And if I can, let's do it.
Awesome, man. Appreciate you, my man. We'll be talking soon. We'll be keeping each up to date on all the stuff going on, and we'll pass that on to all the Early to Rise Radio listeners. Thank you, everybody, for being here, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, listen, that probably wasn't exactly what you wanted to hear, but it was what you needed to hear. And if you're like Rob, if you need help getting to the next level, if you need Rob's help, please contact him. If your business needs saving from the numbers man, if your business needs more sales, marketing, productivity, efficiency strategies, and leadership strategies, then please do what Rob did and come and send us a message at support@earlytorise.com or contact me on Instagram at @realcraigvalentine or visit craigvalentine.com and send me a message there, and we'll give you the help you need. All right. We are pumping out more and more content and help to get you through this. I am going through this too. I'm going to lose businesses. Some of the gyms that I own, I'm going to lose them. And some of the things that I have are actually going to be on a little bit of an uptick. So I'm going to be on all scopes of this. And I have clients in over 27 countries. Some of them are closing their doors and some of them are making bank. And I'm going to be able to download what's working, what's not working, how to deal with this in future podcasts and in our coaching programs. All right. So I want to hear from you. I want to hear your problems so that we can address them in future episodes. And we'll talk to you very soon.